Robinhood Radio presents Flavor Matters with Serge Matakians. He's the owner of Saravan Restaurant in Armenia. If you can't find him in the kitchen or gardens, then follow him either on Facebook or Twitter at Saravan NY.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in. This is Serge from Flavor Matters and Saravan Restaurant. And I'm very happy that today Ryan Frank, artist Ryan Frank, has joined me, where we will hopefully talk a little bit about his artwork, how he came to understand himself as an artist, what he does to enhance and foster his artistic endeavors. So, welcome.
Thanks so much, Ryan. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, thank you for accepting to come and talk about art, and your being an artist, which I think, you know, to just start off and let our listeners hear your disposition. How did you come to understand yourself as an artist, and what were the turn of events in college as an acting student at NYU that led you to realize, oh, you know, I do have this desire to express, but I don't know if acting is the medium. I want to be more of an artist.
Yeah, well, it's true. I was an actor.
Yeah.
I kind of grew up doing theater, acting in plays. That was really my passion in high school. It was my social community.
Do you remember the first time you were excited about acting?
I mean, I think the first time I did, I remember I was in a play in fifth grade, a school play. It was Taming of the Shrew, and I think I played Hortensio, I believe is the character's name, and yeah, I loved it. It was just like, it was just felt
were
like
you
a
selected
natural
for
fit.
The role, or did you volunteer for the role?
I don't remember. I think there were some auditions, and so I think
so. You went for the audition.
I think I went. Yeah, I went for the audition and acted in that. And then,
and you are in Sacramento, California.
In Sacramento, where I grew up. Yeah. So I acted in plays in high school, and then went to NYU for theater, and did that. Was training me to be an actor, but you know, it was at university and was able to take other classes and from other departments, and I think in the beginning of my junior year I took an art history course, and I had always been interested in art, had done art sort of in school and on my own, but I remember taking that first art history course was really...
Do you come from an artistic family?
Not particularly.
No.
Mm-hmm. But you know, I was exposed to art in museums and theater and, you know, the arts in general.
Sure.
Growing up.
Sure.
And so I took that art history course, and I remember it just was a really transformative experience for me of looking at an artwork, a slide in this case, seeing it and then talking about it, talking about what we were seeing. And I remember that sort of process of learning was totally different from anything else I had experienced.
Is there a slide that stands out for you right now?
Oh, so many. I mean, I remember looking at...
No, just one. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I mean, okay, one, and I'll say this because it's been in my mind recently, is the David Death of Murat, which is a really... it's a famous painting, I think from the early 1800s. I know it's hanging now in a museum in Brussels that I've hoped to go to, but haven't made it yet, but it will be an experience to eventually go see it. But I just remember seeing that slide and the professor talking about it and just being really sort of taken by the imagery. And I was accustomed to plays and theater and acting, and where something was coming from a text, a written text by a playwright, and acting it out on a stage.
So, in other words, text was directing you with the emotion, and you had to identify the emotion and the disposition and then express it outwardly as an actor.
Exactly.
From the text.
Exactly. And I think that there was something about standing back and seeing this painting, and of course I had seen paintings before, but I think it was a kind of, it was a bit of a light bulb or just a real awakening of sort of seeing the power that this individual image had on me, and seeing how, you know, sort of still images were able to have that, this presence and this narrative, and sort of have that same power and impression that you could have in a 2-hour play, that have in this, you know, this small slide, seeing it projected. And I after taking that art history course, I began to draw and sketch and paint. And sometimes I would be in rehearsals for plays and have a sketchbook and draw my fellow actors when they're
performing.
Because
you became interested in maybe replicating.
Exactly. Actually, I remember I actually was looking back at old notebooks a while back and found sketches that I made of other artworks. And then, you know, also of people I knew, and really just, you know, kind of drawing whatever was around me. And then...
So are you looking for a feeling, or were you looking to express something that makes a statement?
I think then I was just exploring and just...
Right. So you're
seeing...
21, 22, something like that, right?
Yeah, right around there.
So that was followed with your externship, or I forget what it was, that at Williamstown.
Yeah, I spent a summer in Williamstown. And I think after that experience, which was really positive, but I think after that I realized that I didn't really want to be an actor. I just didn't have it in me, and it just wasn't my main focus or my passion, I should say.
You fell into set design.
Yeah, I did. I did some set design, and then I did some directing, and this was... As I was doing that, I was taking art history courses, and I really loved that dialogue, internal dialogue of where the art that I was looking at really informed the performance work that I was doing. And then I got out of school, and I thought I was going to do directing.
When you say get out of school, meaning you graduated.
I graduated from university. And then...
Which is NYU in the West Village.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And I stayed in New York, and I thought I was going to do directing, direct plays, do some set design. And I worked on a piece with someone I went to school with, and it was the first sort of my first sort of project of my own out of school. And it started out, it was an adaptation of Franny and Zoe, the J.D. Salinger novel. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And of course, Salinger had a very... you know, is very specific and didn't want any adaptations of his work. So we were doing this adaptation of a Salinger book, but couldn't use any text. So we were left to tell the sort of the story through visuals and not through words.
And did you have actors, or this is...
We were acting ourselves.
Okay.
It was
this
my,
is on stage or film?
We had a storefront window space in Midtown Manhattan, and we recorded ourselves performing scenes from the book, and then that turned into a window installation. And I remember that I mentioned this project because I feel like it was the first time where I really, I think, saw myself as an artist and saw what I was doing as artwork.
How was seeing the video? Do you remember the first time when you saw the video, the completed video?
Well, I mean, I remember thinking, God, I was acting, and it was actually, I think, one of the first times in several years that I had acted, and it felt kind of uncomfortable to me.
Uh-huh. It's tough to see oneself act, right?
It really is.
Yeah, I know.
It probably just as tough to hear yourself on the radio.
No, it's a lot easier on the radio. But to watch oneself's videos of one acting, yeah, I've had that experience. But listen, that was really your first window installation.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was my first window installation, first time I really, I think I saw myself as making art.
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually the first project where I used
What made you
photographs.
Think that that was art? What made
well,
you
it
feel
was,
that that's art?
I think because I created a space. Created a space that I was not myself in, that it could stand on its own, where the end product was something that sort of existed in a frame.
Frames are a big,
yeah, I mean,
big word in your consciousness, in your thinking, because we were speaking earlier, you said we frame our perspective, whether it's from a windshield, whether it's from a window, or whether it's just the span of our own vision. It's a frame which has sort of led you into a body of work that are windows and rendering of windows, and then handmade frames.
Right.
We have few minutes left in this segment. I want you to really quickly, because I love that story of your driving back and forth from Sharon, Connecticut to Brooklyn, that inspired you to come up with this handmade frames.
Yeah. So I, I was living up here and I was going back and forth to New York City about once a week, and I was taking the same drive, and I began to document my drive. And first I would, and this is somewhat dangerous, but, you know, I would place my camera on my dashboard and take photos as I was driving. It was the same drive I took.
You know, I do that all the time.
Okay. Well, now I feel better. Well, and I, there was something about the repetition of it, the expectation of seeing the same places in the road that I kind of anticipated, that were kind of like...
Well, these are places that intrigued you or caught your attention.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, you drive. Yeah. You do this, do the commute.
That's one of the most beautiful things of living upstate. There's so many spots.
It is. But I remember
that
doing...
That demand your attention.
Yeah.
They don't just intrigue you. They demand you to stop and look at them and absorb them.
Yeah. So there were like these kind of, you know, points in my journey that I would see. And so eventually I would stop, get out of my car, and photograph the road at these points. And I was left with this body of photographs of images of the road facing south and facing north. And I, at the time, started to make light boxes, so out of plywood, and I had some carpentry skills that I first learned from doing set design and working at Williamstown, and so I made light boxes with two open ends that had photographs on either side of images of the road, and so that was the source material for my first solo exhibition. Were these light boxes. It was called Handmade Frames, and it was all images of roads, many of which were shot, around in and around Sharon and between here and the city.
What is interesting, as I was reading on your website, RyanFrankArtist.com, right? Or is it RyanFrank.com?
RyanMFrank.com.
RyanMFrank.com. Is that you wanted, when you looked at those photos in two-dimensionally, you realized, God, it's not conveying the experience that I have when I'm on the road. What can I do to bring these photos closer to the experience that I actually have when I'm on the road, which led you to putting them into light boxes and lighting them.
Yeah, and because, you know, I think...
Because you talk about looking at them on paper and then on your computer, and I thought, oh my God, this is not doing it justice.
We're all taking so many photographs, right?
Right.
Everyone has a camera.
Right.
Everyone's posting their photos, sharing their photos. But these photos are, obviously, they're two-dimensional. So one of the things that I was interested in creating this body of work, and I think all of my work explores in some way, is sort of bringing out the kind of experiential three-dimensionality of not just the photographs, but of the places where I was at when I took these photos. So the light boxes were a way to kind of explore the physical movement that was required of me to sort of, you know, face both directions in the road. Or when I have done the window installations, these are large-scale photographs placed within window frames that viewers stand in front of on the street. So where they're really taken to another place, another environment.
Which, that's a great way to end this segment, Ryan, because I love watching your both of window installations and window rendering. I think it's such a great idea. This is Serge from Flavor Matters. I've been speaking with Ryan Frank, an artist that now lives full-time in Brooklyn, and he was a resident here in Sharon, Connecticut. We hope that he will join us for the next segment where we will continue talking to him.
Flavor Matters is a joint production of the Sarah Vaughan Restaurant and Robin Hood Radio. For more information on the Sarah Vaughan Restaurant in Amity, New York, saravaughan.com on the web.